I would think of these stories that were really important to me, but I couldn't share them with anyone. I was like, I have no way to explain them, and I have terrible, like, ADHD. The biggest regret of my life is I deleted, like, hundreds of hours of videos that I'll never be able to get back. And it's, like, by far the worst decision I've ever made.
Welcome to Season 2 of Brawlhalla Origins. This season's lineup is packed with awesome guests from various backgrounds in the Brawlhalla community. Join our VIP list by signing up at season2.brawlhallaorigins.com to get early access to each episode, special clips, giveaways, and behind-the-scenes updates. Today's guest is Von Decay. He's a content creator well known for his informative video essays on the Brawlhalla esports community.
I did some digging on Twitter, and I actually do know who this is. We had an interaction about cheating on one's girlfriend, but we came to a disagreement, and we'll leave it at that.
Brawlhalla Origins is presented by Brawl Academy. Brawl Academy's mission is to provide the best educational content for improving at Brawlhalla to support competition long-term by bringing in and leveling up new talent. Learn more at brawlacademy.com. Brawlhalla Origins Season 2 is sponsored by SIB Esports. Go support them and follow what they do over at esportssib.com.
Welcome to episode 8 of Brawlhalla Origins Season 2. I'm here with Von Decay. Von Decay, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So as you know, and for the new people who have maybe never seen the show before, the point of Brawlhalla Origins is to chat with notable members of the Brawlhalla community to find out more about their history and dive into any other interesting topics that come up along the way. So I'll open with the first question that I usually ask everyone, which is, how did you find Brawlhalla?
I don't know about notable, but I do get DMs from pro players that I used to like idolize, and then it's weird when they message me with like little emojis and stuff. But Notable's crazy, but what was the question? How did I get into, like, how did I find out about Brawl?
Yeah, how did you find the game?
I think I was playing, like, I was, like, addicted to, like, Fortnite, and okay. I would wake up at, like, 5 a.m. before school to play Fortnite every single day, just so that, like, I could get some hours in before I had to go to high school. And one day when we were playing, like, me and my friend that used to play Fortnite all the time, we were playing, and it just started to, like, suck. I don't know. The game just got worse for whatever reason. We tried to find any free games on Steam that were really fun, and I remember someone mentioning Brawlhalla from just, like, a really long time ago, and I was like, this game's awesome. Like, we gotta go play. And we just played, like, custom games, like, the custom maps on Twilight Grove for, like, 8 hours. and then I dropped it until 2022.
Oh, wow.
Like, I started playing, like, the day Kaya was released, I believe.
Okay.
Kaya and Isaiah were coming out. And then, I remember opening Twitch when Snowy was winning Winters.
Mm.
And I was like, I'll watch this stream before I go to the gym. And then I picked up the game a bit from there on. So.
Wow.
This is super fun. I don't know. Custom games are like the most fun thing ever. So.
So the time period, just so we can be clear, when you were kind of like leaving Fortnite and coming into Brawlhalla, like what, when was that roughly?
I don't know. I think it's so weird that I played Fortnite every single day. I was like addicted. I have no idea. Just probably like, I don't know when season 4 of Fortnite was, like maybe 18 or 19.
Okay.
I know that I watched Shine 2018 right when, okay, I was playing Fortnite, and I had it on the other monitor. Like, I had the grand finals of Brawlhalla Shine playing.
Oh, okay.
So it was around 2018. And then I didn't touch the game or look at it for like 4 years.
Four years, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what was it then that kind of like inspired you to come back and play more?
I had like the initial like interest, like every other like nerd, or not like a nerd, but just like, you know, the people that get made fun of for like really liking Boomy and Sandstorm. Like, I'm definitely one of those,
sure,
people. And it's like definitely one of those like non-liked individuals who just idolize them for how good they were, but
right.
I was like, I was watching all their videos regardless of me playing Brawl. Like I have like every single time I had the notifications on for both Boomy and Sandstorm, I was watching every single like video. There's like when Boomy would do like a video where he'd say like on January 1st he's gonna make a video for the entire year and he'd like quit 14 days in. I watched all 14 of those videos. So I like had the initial passion, and then I think just like, I don't know. I think just like seeing, so like I had the initial passion, didn't play for 4 years, and then I was in like a really bad spot in college. I just hated my life and like everything. And for whatever reason, like just watching like Snowy and Luna play and I think it was like Winner's Side was like entertaining enough so that I was like, oh, okay. Like I don't like hate my life anymore, cause like at least I'm watching these guys play. So then I was like, you know, I wish I could like talk to someone about this, but there's no one to talk to about it. So then that's where I was like, that's where the YouTube idea came in.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, there's a big gap there. And in between that gap, I was just uploading like probably like 100 to 200 YouTube videos a year on other channels, and just most of them never got out. And the only channel I had that had like close to 200 videos, they were all on like Rainbow Six.
Mm.
That's where I learned all my editing that I learned, like the basics of just like sucking at everything, was from those like that 4 year gap. I was learning how to do Audacity and editing, and that helped a lot when I came to Brawl. So,
okay, so you have like a pretty decent history on YouTube before Brawlhalla, then.
Yeah, I have like 5 YouTube accounts. They're all like cleaned, pretty much. That I didn't want anyone finding them. The biggest regret of my life is I deleted like hundreds of hours of videos that I'll never be able to get back. And it's like by far the worst decision I've ever made in my entire life. But I have like 5 YouTube channels that I had been making videos since I was like 10.
Mm.
I'd been obsessed with like the idea of Photoshop. Like I have destroyed many laptops by putting viruses on them from downloading Photoshop cracks and like destroying computers. But I was cracking, if I could get a, this is bad, but if I could get like a school computer, I was cracking Photoshop on it immediately. I was like an addict to graphic design, and I sucked at it just for my entire life. And I still think I suck at it now. Like even my thumbnails now, I look at them and it's like, God, these are like awful. But I was always obsessed with just like, I'd just like skip school and just like stay on Photoshop all day. I loved it.
Nice.
And same with like YouTube and editing. That was like my art or like my hobby. So it only like became useful recently, as in like monetarily. So but yeah, I've been like, I think that's like a hard part to tell a lot of people that want to get into YouTube. Like if you can't edit and you don't like editing, you're gonna have to make some money in your bank account and hire someone to edit, because if you don't like editing, it will kill your entire motivation to do it.
Yeah, it's tough. I did the editing for the first like 6 episodes of this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Both the video and the audio version, and I do not enjoy editing. I learned that very quickly. I do not enjoy editing. And so now, for season 2, Sandwick is taking care of it. Wave to Sandwick.
Sandwick, dude.
Thank you.
There's so much there's so much free money out there that's, like, if people don't know who Sandwick is, he is just, like, the most well-advertised GFX guy in Brawlhalla. I don't know, he's like obviously a professional level, like he does things the best, but like every single thumbnail I see, I know immediately if it's Sandwick or not. I know if someone's edited by Sandwick or not. He is a monopoly on this like untapped market, and I'm just like, there's gotta be someone else other than Sandwick that can do this, but he's probably, I don't know. I used to just like have such a grudge on him, because everything I'd see is just like, it was Addy Creations or Sandwick was on the title in the description. Mm. I was like, oh my God. I can do what Sandwick's doing. I can steal this from him, but he has such a good reputation that I was just like, there's no way. Like even like Impala, the previous world champion, he does GFX for fun. He could make good stuff. He probably does his own thumbnails. Not like they're like hard or anything, but like there's other people out here.
Yeah.
And Sandwick is just like, he's on it. He gets there before everyone.
Yeah,
and yeah. I wonder if he does it full time. I have no idea.
He's got a great reputation too, because he does lots of different things, not just the thumbnails. He does like the video editing. He's done like stream productions for tournaments and stuff. Professional. Like, yeah,
yeah.
He's He's kind of got it on lock, and he's got lots of people recommending him too. Because
he's also not arrogant at all, which is just like the first time I talked to Sandwick was about like another game I play, a strategy game, and I was just telling him everything to do, just being like an actual like not good person. I was just like, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, and I sent him like DMs like, this is what you should be doing instead, and then like later that night I was just like, what am I doing? And I sent him an apology. I was like, I'm sorry. And like, I had some like my friends messaging like, what are you doing? Why are you so mean to Sandwick? And I was just like, you don't understand. this is like 2 years of built up rage.
Oh man, this is all this animosity he has no idea about.
He has no idea. Doesn't care. Just does his best. And just like, I don't know. I've been a Sandwick hater for years now. But it's more of a rivalry that he's winning 10-0, and I just kind of watch.
But. Oh man, that's great. Yeah. So while we're on the topic of YouTube, let's talk a little bit about kind of the videos that you make for Brawlhalla and talking about pro players and all that stuff. Like, where did the kind of the inspiration come from to start doing these videos, and how did you become such a prolific storyteller on kind of like the path of pro players?
You're very nice. For the inspiration part of YouTube, I think people can find inspiration like everywhere when they're doing stuff. Like I said, I've been doing videos for like with no direction for a really long time, just like uploading whatever I wanted. But for Brawlhalla, I think it's just like I would tell my friends, like in a car ride to like, if we were like going out or something, or like going to a restaurant, I'd be like, yeah, there's this guy, Luna, and he's like a villain. And they would never get the stories. And I'd think before they picked me up, I was like, okay, today I'm going to tell them about like why, you know, Sandstorm beating Blue 6-0 and CEO like destroyed his mentality. I don't know. I would think of these stories that were really important to me, but I couldn't share them with anyone. I was like, God, I have no way to explain them. And I have terrible like ADHD. I can't sit still. I can't do anything normal. I was terrible in school. My storytelling is also really bad. So I'd write the scripts of what I'd want to say to my friends when I'd meet them, and I'd tell them all about my favorite players from Brawlhalla, and they'd be like, wow, that game sounds sick. And they'd play it once and they'd hate it. And I'd be like, yeah, but the people that play it that are really good at it are just like vastly interesting and all super different. Like one of my favorite players to talk about is just like a guy in EU, Fozy. And he has such a good story. I haven't made the video yet, so no one knows about it. Except for if you really pay attention. So there's all these... The main inspiration was that there's all these cool stories for a game that's not so popular that just adds so much, like, texture to it. Like, if you were to know a little bit more about Godly, then I think you'd want to watch him play more. And all I've ever wanted to do is to see Brawlhalla get bigger and have more viewers, not just for the viewership rewards. I just wanted the game to grow. And if someone can share the same excitement that I do just for watching, like, pools... Or bigger sets, that is the goal, is just to get Brawlhalla to be more popular and bigger. Because I really do love watching the game. And I didn't know how to share that excitement until I started learning how to tell stories. My dad's a great storyteller, and I loved presenting stuff in school. So I just took like all the... I just asked my dad about like World War II. I was like, tell me something about like stories that he could tell really well. And I would just start writing notes down, like how he delivers. And then I'd watch other YouTubers, and I was like, I was taking notes from everyone. I was stealing techniques from everyone. And then I had to make like 20 videos on Brawlhalla first before like I made the first one that broke like 10,000 views. And people were like, okay, the storytelling stuff's a bit better. So yeah, I don't know if that answered the question or not. But
no, that was good.
Yeah, the storytelling stuff just comes from like, make a bunch of videos that really suck. We were trying to do a thing. And don't take it too harshly if they do suck. And then also have someone that's been doing YouTube a long time, aka Kosalix, just like tear your videos apart with you. And then eventually you'll talk about something coherently. Because I always start out with an idea and it just drift off. Like my attention span affected it. Like I'd lose the concept or the title. And I think the first video where I said an idea, I explained it, and then like I capitalized on it, was the first one that broke like 10,000 views because people could actually understand what I was saying. And then I started working on that a bit more of like, does this make sense? Record 20 seconds, listen to it back. I'm like, does this actually make sense to someone? And then from that, a style developed of telling stories with like Kung Fu Panda references and talking about Sandstorm and making them 20 minutes long and way too long. So, yeah.
Yeah, the I feel like you kind of fill a little bit of a gap as far as like Brawlhalla content goes, where not a lot of people are making like long form like storytelling content in Brawlhalla. It's like very much kind of ranked gameplay with maybe some commentary or maybe a guide here and there and yeah, things like that. And I feel like this type of content is honestly kind of necessary to get people to care more about sort of the talent and the personalities that exist within the game. So that's me just kind of no question here, me just kind of saying, I love what you do, please keep doing it.
Yeah, that was like the first, most of my videos, the only DMs I got were like, you're an idiot, you know, because I just like, I think like one of the players I looked up to a lot, my first pro player interaction that I really liked the way he played, he's a very unknown Lin Fei player, semi-pro, I guess you'd put it, and I made a video kind of addressing the meta of Brawlhalla.
Mm.
And he found it. This player that I looked up to goes by Guichi Bao or Guichi Bu. And he's just like, did you make this video? And I was like, yeah, I'm the guy that made the video. He's like, okay, I want you to take it down right now because it's awful. And everything you said in it is a lie. And he's like, are you joking? Is this like a satire video? I was like, no, it's completely true. Like everything I said in there is like, I was doing my best like to make it a good video. And he's like, yeah, this is terrible. Take it down.
Wow.
And it was my first interaction with like a, like talking about the game more, and I generally considered like right there I was like, oh, maybe I should stop, because like I've never even been a high rank in the game. Then the nice comments came in where like people are like, no one else is doing this, so thank you. So like at least it's cataloged,
yeah,
for people to go back and look at stuff.
Yeah,
but the very first one was a negative comment.
Wow. So I guess kind of going from there, like, which of your first videos kind of like got a positive response from one of the players that you were kind of covering?
Yeah, if people don't know, the coolest dude, the coolest man from the West Coast, the best at Isaiah player of all time, Adam Cool 178. if you are a fan of Brawlhalla or have ever watched a Boomy video, Adam Cool's probably in there getting destroyed by him. But my very first video with 300 views, one of the 300 people that viewed it was Adam Cool himself. And he said, I think he said, like, this is awesome, keep doing these. And for me, I had known about who Adam Cool was for years. So just seeing him interact with the video with 300 views, I was like, whoa, this is getting out there.
Right.
And I was like, this is enough. And with 300 views, that was more than any of my other channels had ever gotten on a single video.
Oh, wow. Okay.
After those videos only got like 50 views. It's just me rewatching it 50 times. So getting the Adam Cool comment like motivated me to keep going. And I didn't get like 1,000 views on a video until I was like maybe 10 videos in. So it takes a while to get the views to go up. It's YouTube's a weird thing.
Yeah, it's very strange. Like, if you don't have like a super breakout kind of video that like appeals to like a mass audience, it takes it a long time to kind of calibrate your uploads to an audience.
And I eventually hit that breakout video. It took like 35 videos. I hit my Meg D stride. Mm. It's what everyone knows. Everyone at first only knew me for Dark Ghoul's ban. I went to BCX, people were like, are you the Dark Ghoul guy? And I was like, yeah, I guess I'm the Dark Ghoul cover. But my biggest improvement stride was like the Megdi video, because it has like 600,000 views at this point. And that's when like I finally was just like telling my, I had to move back home to make that video, and my parents would just like come in my room whenever I was recording, and I'm like a grown adult complaining about their parents coming to the room, but I was just like, when that video did well, I set my YouTube will pay you each month, and you can receive the payment either in direct wiring.
Mm-hmm.
I set it to send me a check, so that way my parents would open the mail and see the check for the video.
Okay.
And like, it made obviously like a few thousand dollars. It's not like anything crazy, but like when you get that many views on that long a video, you're gonna make a few grand,
right?
And so them seeing that check, they finally are like, oh, okay, we won't come in your room when you're making these videos. Like, thank you. But yeah, I had that breakout video, and my sub count went from like, it took me like a few months to get each thousand, and then within a few weeks, I went from 5K to 12K, like
wow.
Doubled. And it took me 1.5 years just to get to 5K. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I got to 5K is because a big YouTuber, Favelski, was like, once you get there, you'll be good. And as soon as I hit 5K, I got that huge breakout video that really pulled in a larger audience. And now I think people that don't play Brawl would consider watching a Brawl video, which is really hard to do.
Yeah. No, that's probably one of the hardest things to do, really, is get anybody from outside of our community to watch anything related to
Brawl. Fighting games in general are cool to watch, usually terrible to play. I think Brawlhalla is fun to play, even at the beginner level, but it is by far, I mean, besides something really niche, fighting games are like the hardest genre to pull in like more casual viewers, and you have to do it in a way that doesn't focus on the fighting game. And there's plenty of good examples of this out there right now. Like, I think the person I get compared to the most is a guy who makes Geometry Dash videos, Samifying. There's like maybe 30 seconds of Geometry Dash footage in the videos. It's all about the story. And with Brawlhalla, these ranked videos, like queuing up ranked with the webcam, they're cool for people that grind every day, but for the common regular person, like they're not gonna watch it. So it's really hard to reach outside the scope of Brawl and do more with it. But I think there's definitely some people that have like already started doing that for sure.
Yeah. So thinking back on some of your videos, what do you think is like your favorite video that you've made so far?
Oh, my first one, for sure. The very first video I made is I was, like I said, hated my life, you know? I was, like, depressed in college or whatever. I didn't know that was what it was called. I'm in a major in my profession. If you can't tell by the plane. In my profession, you cannot be depressed. That is not a thing. You lose your job instantly. You cannot have any symptoms of that come up. So, no one at my work knows about anything about YouTube or stuff, because you know, whatever. But I was very unhappy, and I was taking like therapy and all this stuff, but I couldn't have any of it on record. So it was really sad, and I decided to make this video to make myself feel better. And in the video, all I did for it was I rewatched the VOD of like, the video is just watching the Winter Championship. There's four seasonal championships a year, and the very first one's the Winter Championship, which it kind of sets the tone for the year. And there's this guy, Snowy. He's been really good for a long time. Super, super good. And he's on like a demon streak throughout this tournament. And each time he beats someone in the tournament, I'm going to their Twitter page, screenshotting what they tweet. And it's just like, God, this is so unfair. Another eighth, or it's like, GG's, I'll do better next time. And I was just taking these, and I was like, I could just, whatever context I want these to be in, they can be in. Like, this is my... I thought no one was going to look at it. So I was like, I'm going to make this just a little messed up world I'm going to create. So every single time I was turning notifications on for Santi, for Sandstorm, for Luna. I was turning notifications on for everyone. Anytime they tweeted something, screenshot goes in Vonicae's folder. I was journaling everything. And I was writing down my thoughts with them. And then I had all these thoughts and had all these screenshots. Just like, I would like take sticky notes and write stuff on the wall. And all these thoughts. This is the most manic, like, weirdest thing I've ever done in my life. And then I decided to open up Audacity and talk for 30 minutes straight, imagining how it would be edited in my head. And I would talk for 30 minutes straight about the Winter Championship. And then I went back and then I edited it and posted it, I think at like 1 a.m. that night or something, and finished it. And the thumbnail is awful, and the video is just me, like, trash talking pro players and just like baiting reactions out of anyone that would come by it. And I thought it was the most fun thing ever. And like, I thought it was the most true thing to like, what is that called? Like when someone does art by accident.
Oh yeah.
It was the closest thing I've ever had to like novice art or whatever it's called. When you pick up a paintbrush and you actually make something kind of cool.
Right.
And I thought like 300 views was definitely something that like warranted like, okay, that was kind of cool. So that's my favorite one. Cause I think it was the most like authentic I ever could be. I was unhappy and I wanted to share that, but I did it in the form of like Brawlhalla. And I was like, yeah, you lost your tournament. You're not top eight. It's cause you suck and you should quit. And I just like, I just made it like that. And I wanted Snowy to be weird. I wanted everyone to know he's weird. I don't think he's actually weird at all, of course, but like the way he moves and the fact that he's Rayman and the fact that he wore spring colors in the winter tournament and then winter colors in the spring tournament, I was like, this guy's just weird and people need to think of him that way. And I want people to understand that Luna is this scary towering player and Snowy is just a funny guy, and the funny guy wins. And I would take these thoughts and I just shoved them into a video, and like I felt like that was the most true to myself thing I've ever created in my life. So that's still my favorite video to this day, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have like very little clue of the earlier days, and that's what's something I get a lot of criticism for, because I like my first video that did well, I said like a gold player in nowadays could be a pro player back then, and that's just wrong. It was purely like a bait, comment, and people got furious over it. And you're one of the people, like I was trash talking like Wilson and just like older players, but you were playing around that time that I was targeted at. So like, how did you get, you know, good? There's no guides.
Back then things were a bit different. We did have some guides, I guess. Like I think when I started it was a lot of Berthin, and if you remember him, his updated name was like OmniPi or something like that.
OmniPi, he's a big YouTuber to this day.
So Berthin was making guide videos, Dobrain was making guide videos, people like that. And so I watched some of those, but a lot of it was just kind of like winging it at first. So I had a somewhat similar beginning to you in that I came from a shooter. Instead of Fortnite, for me it was Overwatch.
So that's crazy.
And
Overwatch is great, by the way. I don't care what anyone says. The game is awesome.
But so I started playing Overwatch, and we had a team that was kind of trying to be competitive in it a bit, and we played scrims all the time. Started to do like some amateur level like tournament stuff. It was fun for a while. But the team just kind of fell apart, and when the team fell apart, a lot of us just kind of like went our separate ways to do different things. And one of my teammates was like, yo, you should check out this game I found recently, Brawlhalla. And I jumped on it with him, and he showed me the ropes a little bit. And I honestly think if I hadn't started playing like right at the end of a season, I probably would have been diamond my first season.
That's awesome. Because I wish like, I could be diamond.
I was gold within like, I don't know, like a day. And then from there, like the season ended. So it was like season ended, I was gold. The new season started, and then Mirage came out.
Dude.
So I started like right before Scythe was added to the game. And then Scythe came in. And I saw like all the videos and stuff, like the all of the promotion for Scythe and all the different things it could do. And I was like, that looks cool.
It's that's the coolest weapon in the game. It's the coolest thing about Brawlhalla is Scythe.
Like, yeah.
Nothing comes close.
So I was like, I'm going to play that. And so from that point forward, I was a Scythe main. And so it went Mirage, and then Nyx came out. And when Nyx came out, I got diamond on Nyx. And then Mordex came out, and I ignored him for like a month because
the coolest character in the game.
I know. I ignored him for like a month because I was like, I'm a Nyx player. I got diamond on Nyx. I'm just going to keep playing Nyx. And then I switched to Mordex like a month later, and was like, oh no, this is my character.
Yeah, no,
this is,
it's insane. Anyone that touches the Brawl for a while, and then once they get the ropes, as soon as they first have their, like, you know, they first lock in Mordex, and then he's just, I don't know what they were doing when they made that character, man, but they snapped. Like, they made a cold character with Mordex. All of his sigs, the sound effects are so distinct and loud, and the lore is crazy. I don't know what they did, but they put like an extra $100,000 in the apartment for Mordex.
It was I was asking for so long for like them to do like the reverse Halloween thing with Mordex, where instead of, since he's already a werewolf, having like his Halloween costume be his human form.
Yeah.
And they finally did it as part of the battle pass, and I was like, nope, yoink, that's mine.
No, I don't know. There's a few characters in the game, like, not to get too off topic, but there's a few characters in the game, I think, like, distinctively the most well-designed, fleshed out, like, from like a, just a visual perspective to how cool they play in game.
Mm-hmm.
Mordex, Petra,
okay,
and Jaehyun are the three most widely appealing, well-designed, just like, I think they just did so good with those people. And like, there's a few older characters, like Ember, I think, is also another character that's really well done, stands the test of time. But Petra and Mordex are just sick.
Like,
they don't play in game as cool as they are in like the lore and animations, but everything about Petra just screams Petra.
Right.
So, so yeah, you got Mordex. I know you played Val as well.
Yeah, I ended up picking up Val, mostly because back then I considered Sword to be one of the best matchups into Scythe, and I wanted to learn Sword just so that I could play against it better. And so I picked up Val mostly for that purpose, and then I ended up getting kind of really good at Sword. And when Sandstorm kind of took over the Mordex thing, and Jiro came out, I think it was like, once I started getting really good at Sword, I was like, okay, I want a Scythe Sword Legend. Please make this happen, BMG.
They did it.
And I vaguely remember, because I don't remember exactly when it was that Jiro came out, but I vaguely remember like asking for Scythe Sword like right before it came out, and a BMG dev being very coy about it.
Yeah.
And then it actually happened, and I was like, yes! And Jiro sucked for like 3 years.
Yeah, they released like one of the worst characters. He's cool, but like not viable. The tournament where the first Jiro player that I've ever seen go far in tournament was AO Blue.
Yeah.
He got second on Jiro. I hate throwing out these names because if no one, you'd have to watch a lot of Brawlhalla to know these names, but a very talented Jiro player made it all the way to second on a great bracket on a day that there's a lot of people just having an off day, and he took like full advantage of it. And his like whole Jiro, he was doing Jiro proud. Like, he was using a bunch of signatures flying all over the screen. He had like the greatest knockout animation to match with his skin. Like, a Jiro players just inherently are cool. Yeah. The character is cool. He just like sucks. It's just, I don't know. It's just like a weird thing to be good at Jiro, and then he's just like one of the worst characters in the game.
Yeah, I think. Honestly, back when Jiro came out, like, Sword and Scythe were probably the two best weapons in the game. And I think BMG kind of knew that if they were going to put this character in, they had to kneecap it somehow, or he would have been, like, easily the best legend in the game, like, by far.
I wish they still did that. They have released, like, four characters back-to-back that are just, like, amazing. I'm like, we need to release just, like, another Magyar here or there or something. We need to get something, like, terrible to come out, because like when Loki came out, I didn't want to queue up. I just lost every game. I was like, he's broken.
I have a different opinion on Loki, which is interesting. I think,
well, I suck at the game also. It's like, well, let that be known.
So. Yeah. I think Loki's gonna terrorize, or Loki probably does terrorize, sort of like the queue in the lower ranks, because he's got any legend with like big hitboxes that move at a decent speed.
Yeah, those are the things. Taros, Loki,
Orion,
Artemis. I have lost many games to all those characters. Taros is like my least favorite character to face in the entire game. It's just not even him and Atori. I don't know why Atori, but like, I don't know. You got gold in a day. It took me, like, publicly saying this is like executing myself, but like, it took me like 500 hours to get to gold. Like,
that's not uncommon.
No, I mean, every video game I've played, I'm just like unnaturally bad at it. Like,
oh, okay.
I'm unironically,
including Fortnite.
At Fortnite, I think I got like one win on my own, and I was just like screaming. I was like crying. I got like 4 kills. I was in a bush. I did it. And I was just like, this is crazy. Life will never get this good again. And I think I got like 100 second places. But I never had that like winner gene in me. But I did come close, really close to making money off of Fortnite in one tournament. I don't know how.
Oh, wow.
But when it came to tournament time, I think in Brawlhalla 2, my best placement with a really good player, so it doesn't count, but I was like one off of money in the only tournaments I've ever entered for any type of video game. But yeah, like there's a Fortnite Winter Championship thing where I guess the points were just crazy and inflated for like certain things like kills, and I was doing really good. And then I could have called for the next like day, the day you can make money, and I was just like, I was like, that's too stressful, so I didn't even enter it. But no, I wasn't bad at Fortnite. I suck at shooting and all that stuff, but I had map knowledge. I knew how to rotate.
Right.
Nice. And with Brawl, like I find twos, the 2v2 mode, infinitely the most fun. I think everyone kind of does. But dude, Platinum, okay. Platinum 2v2 1700 is harder than 2900 Brawl. And anyone can tell you. Like, don't listen to these pro players. They've never been there. They skip it. But 1700, they get placed above it. 1700 in 2v2s. You've never seen these players. You've never seen what they're capable of, but it's dangerous.
Sorry,
I got off topic there, but
no, that's fine. I'm one of those players that will like smurf and queue with my friends.
I've queued you before.
Yeah.
One of my earliest memories in Brawl is I lost to you when you were just in experimental. It was the first ever time I faced a pro player, so I took a picture of it on Snapchat and I have it saved to this day, losing to you. You were playing Jala and experimental. I think this is during like, might have been a tail end of COVID. I was just like randomly on Brawl for a day. Like in the gap, I still played like maybe 20 games a year. Mm-hmm. And one of the games I got, I saw a trophy. It's like, I know this is a diamond player. In my head is what I told myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like tried my absolute hardest. And it was like, when you got to red, I think on your last stock, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to win. And I still had like, I think 2 stocks. I was feeling like great about myself. I was just like, I got really lucky. Anything I could do. And then you just won. Just won the game. Like, and I think I've experienced that with every player I meet that's like good. They'll let you get them all the way to red on their last stock. And then, because then only then is it entertaining for them to actually try, I think. Like, naturally, your brain just doesn't care until you get to red.
I think, yeah. People call me an experimental demon because I queue experimental more than ranked. And it's just because, like, when I jump on Brawlhalla these days, it's mostly to just kind of have low stress games where I can just chill and autopilot a bit. And so I'll randomly queue like good players that are like warming up in experimental or whatever. And anytime I run into somebody in experimental who's just naturally better than me, like I hate losing. losing is the worst. And so I'll autopilot it first until I lose the lead. And then if I lose the lead, it's like, okay, well, I have to do something now.
Yeah. I've noticed like to get more on like what kind of makes me notable is like, we're just talking about Brawlhalla esports, just so that people, if they listen to this, they can have more like stuff to go on for that. I've noticed with all pro players, a really common theme, unless they're just kind of just weirdly motivated by other things, like I don't know, but a common theme I've seen in all top players, like I'm talking 32 and above, losing for them is like a pain they just cannot process. Like, if you look at BCX, Snowy's first set he lost in two, I'm pretty sure Snowy went into BCX of this year, the World Championship, 100% confident he was winning that thing, no doubt. And I think a lot of people believed that too. I believed it. Yeah. I thought Snowy was going to win everything. And him losing that first set, that seeing pro players lose is unlike, it is like the most, if you don't have like a lot of empathy, you will gain it in that moment. Watching them, their faces react to them losing. Watching Luna lose and find whatever's nearest to him and just beating the life out of it, you will feel it like with them. And that was something that was like really notable about Brawl. All the top players hate losing. They cannot stand it. And I'm someone who, when I lose, I'm usually like, dang, that guy's pretty good. That's sick. And I like go by my day. Like in Overwatch, if I lost, I was like, dude, that was sick when Genji killed like all six of us. That was hard. And then I was platinum. So like that makes a lot of sense, because losing for me is just like, there's a 50-50 chance when I queue up to win or lose. But for top players, losing is not an option. And if it does happen, it's almost like they can't process it to the point where they need to win.
It's very weird, like how annoyed or angry or like just frustrated you get from certain kinds of losses too, because back when Ethan Capsar, now
I've heard a lot of things about him. I didn't watch a lot of him, but I've seen the Cody video, so I know like Ethan was a tough opponent to like mentally keep yourself together.
Ethan was a very tough opponent, and he always kind of was a tough opponent, and it took him a while before he kind of came into his own and got really good. And I was kind of one of the gatekeepers back in the day, where like you couldn't consider yourself good if you couldn't beat me.
Like Crocky.
Yeah. And so Ethan finally got his win over me in a tournament, and I hated it. I hated it so much. Yeah. I was so angry after losing to him. But so at
you're
the
not
same
angry
time,
at
like,
him. You're just like angry at the loss. You don't dislike Ethan.
Yeah. No, I think Ethan's cool. Kid's smart as fuck.
I know he's playing League now, so.
But no, Ethan's great. But I just, like, back then I was, like, top 8 capable, and losing to someone who I felt wasn't worthy is, like...
Dang.
That's, like, I think the mentality that a lot of top players get, especially when they lose to somebody that's not, like... known to be very good.
Yeah.
And you get that kind of like chip on your shoulder about like, how am I losing to this person who's so much worse than me?
Mm-hmm. This is a really relevant topic that I'm going to talk about soon in quite a few videos that people need to start accepting and mature over. Which is that whole idea of like, do they deserve to be this far? Because one of the most disrespectful things that happened this year that I think I've noticed is like, BCX 2023 was a huge wake-up call for a lot of people. Like, if you really look at it, it was a huge wake-up call. Starting with Snowy losing in that twos, you know, event, that was just, you know, a little bit surprising. Players being dropped left and right is pretty normal. Like, that happens, like, get used to it. But the biggest things I would say to wake up to is, like, Bunny beating Luna. Mm-hmm. You know, Luna for the longest time has just been like a top player for the past like 2 years. Not the longest time, but for the past 2 years he's been a dominant top player. But Luna does have that weird thing about him where he just loses to... He has days where he just cannot win. Like, it happens to him. It happened in like... I think it was like the spring tournament that Giro did really well. And so like, that was a huge wake-up call. Like, seeing, you know, PR... I think he was 1 or 2 at the time. Lose to PR, you know, whatever. 17 probably or something like that. Or higher is another wake up call. And then the top 8 is not talked about enough. And that's where kind of the whole YouTube channel comes in. Because when I think something's not talked about enough, I want to share it with just how insane it is. The fact that Blaze made it to top 8, I think, is the most impressive thing of BCX 2023. And it's impressive for two reasons. One, because the bracket, when you bring this up, people go, look at his bracket. I'm like, okay. Bracket is a thing in fighting games that people get really, their brains get stupid about it.
Oh, mine's real stupid about my bracket for BCX, because I had a very unlucky bracket.
People get get twisted all the time. Like this is, there is such thing as an easy and hard bracket, and Blaze yeah. arguably had an easier bracket, but we're talking about easy in the terms of top eight at the yeah. hardest tournament of the year versus yeah. people that want to win this more than life itself are here at this tournament that are willing to die for top eight, not actually, but in game. They're right. willing to do whatever they can to take top eight. And it's been going on for 2 days now. They're playing every single day, 8 or more hours of Brawlhalla a day, practicing just to win. There is no such thing as an easy bracket. It's not like you can just pull up and get in here. So him getting top eight is wildly impressive. And I know he had been playing. That's the second thing. The first thing is that his bracket was controversial. Like, was it easy? Is top eight really that impressive? Yes, it's impressive. Second thing, it shows us just like how talented these guys are, because Blaze for 2 years did not lose a 2v2 tournament with his teammate. Mm-hmm. And then from what I've heard from like a lot of EU fans, Blaze practiced once in the 2 months leading up to BCX, won one community tournament, and he was able to take that community tournament win to getting top eight at BCX just off of right. that. And that he is a mind. He is one of those minds where you see them play competitive games where he's just a smart human, and mm-hmm. he has the ability to take his intellect and translate it to the game. So like, he's someone I really want to talk about more. But I think like in general, BCX 23 just had so many weird occurrences yeah. and Greatsword winning it all also, and Taros coming in second place. Like, you got to really, when you're talking about the meta and you're talking about brackets, you got to start really thinking for yourself now, because it shouldn't be as shocking to see these things, but it still is, because if you just follow what everyone says, the game will catch you off guard yeah. all the time. And, yeah. And you know, Hammer for the most of the year was just like the weapon that was viewed as the worst. And then
I think if you took any random person from a week before BCX happened and told them that Greatsword was winning, they would laugh at you.
They might, if they knew who Yuz was,
or if you told them that Spear wasn't winning, they would laugh yeah. at you. Yeah.
I was pretty with who was going to win BCX, I was pretty determined that South America was going to win. I think I've watched a lot of esports. Mm-hmm. There is not a single region that holds pride more to their ability to perform in games than South America, and specifically oh, yeah. Brazil. That is the most passionate group of people probably on this planet when they do something. It doesn't matter yeah. what it is, but they, and if you are also from that same region, you are now brothers. Like, you are in this together yeah. to win. And Americans don't really have that. We're all here just to be the best because we're supposed to be the best. And Europe, they got just one really, really good guy named Godly, and he is going to let you know. And Godly appreciates good talent, and he looks for it. And even he was like, the only thing I'm worried about is Brazil mm-hmm. and South America. And it's coming to BCX. I was pretty confident they're going to win, but I did not think it'd be Yuz. I thought it'd be Kaina. I thought it'd be Lores or Kaina. I was like, those guys are really good. But I've been studying Yuz's gameplay for like hours now. I'm making a video on him. It just doesn't make sense. He is just, the way he plays is unorthodox, but it's also just better than everyone. Yeah. And he uses Greatsword in a way that makes it just look broken, like completely overpowered.
Yep.
He's great. And like, that's, yeah. And telling someone how BCX 23 was going to turn out and who made it to the top eight and who didn't and what happened to these players, they would not believe you.
At all. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the great thing about BCX.
It's my second favorite term of the year, for sure. It's up there.
Second favorite?
Oh, yeah. The Winters. Winters Seasonal Championship is my favorite tournament of the year.
Always? That's, or?
I mean, or like, just last... Yeah. Always Winters. But, like, last year, 2023 BCX was pretty hype. Like,
yeah.
just nothing went the way it was supposed to go. And I really like the Royales. But, like, my favorite tournament every year is Winters, because everyone talks about putting in work. And even if they put in work, it's yeah. not enough. It is yeah. not enough. And when the day comes, there are going to be people out there who put in less work than you who are just better. And it's a tough pill to swallow. And it like I said, it sets the mood for the rest of the year.
Yeah. And this winter's is going to be especially weird because now we've got like the new backdash stuff that just went in. The all the dash land and cancel stuff is like now starting to mature. People are figuring out how to use it better. So like there's actual like mechanical differences.
There's going mechanical
to this year.
And there's mental, which I'm very glad for as a fan of NA. We are no longer the best.
Mm-hmm.
We have to now prove that again we are the best. We lost to EU on a LAN, and we lost to South America on many LANs. So I'm like glad that they finally have something to chase for.
Right.
It's like a good rivalry though. Like it makes me happy to see these players all get along and stuff, but like okay guys, that's cool. We're taking photos and we're friends. I need you to start winning some tournaments though. I cannot if I'm gonna have to make videos about South American players, there's gonna be a lot of editing where I don't know what they're saying in another language. So I need you guys to start winning some tournaments so I can start doing videos I understand a bit better. Coming from like a YouTuber,
gonna have to get in touch with a.
I'm gonna have to get a translator and be like, what's happening here? What are they talking about? What is Sack saying? What is Wes saying? I mean, all I wanted to really see, I think the most entertaining man in the game right now is Godly. Everything he says is funny. Everything he does is cool.
Yeah.
He's
definitely one of those players that just has like a natural personality. Like, whereas like,
I want him on the microphone all the time. He's great. The little pregame interviews, like, Brawlhalla as like the esports scene is learning a bit more when to talk to people and when to get these like recordings and things. And I was very happy with like, Yuz doesn't speak the most English, but when he won BCX, you can just like see it like wash over him.
Right.
So they're getting good at knowing when to record things and when to grab things in the Royales. It's good for me. I get a lot of footage of people speaking their mind, and it adds character to the people playing these characters, and that's what I need to share this story with others.
Yeah, that is definitely something that tournament production in particular has been kind of like working on leveling up themselves over the last several years. Is just like, before it was about like skill, and now it's about like players and personality and storytelling and making sure that stuff actually gets captured.
Yeah, it's really hard.
Before, yeah,
these guys are all children.
Yeah,
to an extent.
I mean, so. Yeah. I mean, that's the hard thing about like esports in general is that like,
not children. I shouldn't say that, but
I mean, it's true. Like for a lot of them, like they are kids, and kids generally speaking don't have like well developed personalities until you get to like, I don't know, like 15, 16, 17, 18.
Roughly. Even longer. I mean, they're kids that play video games for thousands of dollars. Like, they're not out talking to people.
Yeah.
Other than Discord.
All right.
And I don't know. Like, one of the most common DMs I get, not to out anyone, but I won't say any names. One of the most common Discord DMs I get isn't about videos. It's like, how did you learn how to talk? I'm like, I don't know, man. By talking a lot? It's just because, like, they are very young, and they have not developed like a personality as much as you'd say, but they have developed how to get really, really good at Brawlhalla, and they have that going for them. And they, it does create some interesting people. I will say, like, if we're going to shout out anyone that's really well-spoken, Witty Stingray.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, very well-spoken. Godly, very well-spoken.
Yeah.
I feel like almost at this point, Boomy's just like PR trained. I've never seen a dude be able to like put on a smile and take a picture with so many people in a row. Like he's up there, but for sure Stingray is very articulate and talented for his age.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I had Stingray on in season one, and that
everything
probably
he does
one of my favorite.
Everything he does, I thought his music, his guides.
He's brilliant. I don't want to sit here and talk Witty up too much, but definitely check out all of the stuff he does. It's.
Well,
he's very talented.
Yeah, I just find it important to talk about players that I think really changed the scene. So, like, definitely, like, Sandstorm's up there and stuff. But I'd say, like, in the top five most impactful players that I know of, he's going up there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Even if just for, like, the way that he taught a lot of what are now the kind of top players.
Yeah. every time I make a video about someone I find interesting, I'm almost upset that I'm not good enough at making videos yet to get the videos to be bigger. Because if I can make every video as big as the Megdi video, where it could reach a larger audience, then I would feel like I'm actually doing these people justice. Because if I make a video on Godly, the best player in all of Europe, probably top three in the world, and it doesn't get to, you know, a larger audience, then I'm not doing his story. I'm not doing him justice. Because, you know, it means, in my mind, it means enough to me that more people should see this. And if I'm not good enough at making videos to the point where more people can't see it, then I'm failing Godly. I'm failing a lot of people that are fans of him. So at least I can remake videos, though. So that's like the one good part is I can I've remade Stingray's video, and, you know, it gets a little bit bigger each time. I've made like 5 videos on Sandstorm, you know, but that's yeah, definitely a thought.
Yeah, I think reusing and like repurposing content is something that a lot of content creators don't really think about or do often enough, especially like as your audience grows, like a lot of people aren't going to see your older stuff.
No, unless they really enjoy it, which then it scares me, because I'm like, if you go watch my most recent videos and you go back to my ones I was making 2 years ago, I'm sorry. Like, it's not going to be... I don't know how you get through them. I've never watched my videos, like, personally, because I've seen them 200 to 500 times plus on each segment multiple times. So when they're done, I just skim through it, see that there's no glitches, and then I'm like, okay. Right. And I never watch it again. And I can't, when I watch them, like, I don't mind my voice, like, in recordings, but, like, I definitely cringe at, like, myself, so I just, like, I can't watch them.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, repurposing is definitely good. You need to keep people informed. The only issue with it is, like, I get a lot of requests to do videos on players that are, like, I don't know, like, I think there's a guy named, like, Cyclist, like, I don't know, that's a really old player, like...
Oh, yeah, and Cyclist is definitely old school, yeah.
Like, think of these old players, like, you're missing, and they'll tell me, like, you're missing all these great players, I'm like, dude, like, I get that it means something to you, but there is actually maybe 10 seconds of footage on this person, and it is in 360p, and I don't know who they are, and my research skills are limited, and my time is also, so it's like, I feel bad I can't cover, like... You know, Dobrain in great detail, but, like, I have to find it interesting to a point.
Yeah. Cyclist was notable because he's an actor.
Yeah, he's, like, a Disney actor or something.
Yeah, and got really good at the game at the same time, so, yeah.
That's the last...
We are approaching the end of our time together.
Mm-hmm.
This has been great. Thank you very much for coming on and chatting with me. Do you have anything that you would like to say? To like kind of round out sort of the end of the video, and anything you want to say to like your fans, other people that might be in the community, anything like that?
Sorry if the podcast is hard to follow, because I jump around everywhere all the time from topic to topic, but I'm working on rewatching my videos to make sure they stay in a continuous line of less getting distracted. The only thing I guess I'd say is like I don't know. Thank you for watching. That's sick. Yeah, I got nothing.
The guy that's good at talking suddenly can't talk.
Well, like, I don't know. I mean, watch Brawlhalla for sure.
So the interesting thing about season 2 is that most of the people that are on this season are people that were requested by viewers or listeners of the show.
Was I requested?
And that includes you.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, like, almost everyone in season, I think there's, like, maybe 3 exceptions. I'm looking at the guest list right now. Yeah, there's, like, 3 exceptions. Everyone else was actual viewer requests, so.
If the only thing I could tell, if there's a single viewer of mine that watches this, I do see everything. I see every single comment. I check everything on myself, so don't ever think that the message... you send or the Discord DM goes unread if I don't respond. I'm manic about it. I read everything to get as much resource, and I keep tabs on who's commenting the most. I know their names. I know who's hating. I know who's loving. I see all the replies. I'm there. So, you're not out of sight, but I may not always reply. So, nice. But trust me, I know who my commenters are, and I see them in other videos all the time. Like, oh, you're over here? Okay.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? So, I keep tabs. I'm like an obsessed girlfriend or boyfriend. I'm like, back at all you guys. And you're in Swerve's comment section, huh? Okay. That's cool. It's cool.
I'll remember that.
So you guys leave me when I take 2 months to upload.
Oh, man. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show, dude. This has been great. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks for watching this episode of Brawlhalla Origins. We'll be back next week with another episode. Join our VIP list by signing up at season2.brawlhallaorigins.com to get early access to each episode, special clips, giveaways, and behind-the-scenes updates. See you next week.